many sick here in the building. He said, but the worst kind of sick there is sin sickness. That's the worst kind of sickness. And you know what? One of the things that's so bad about it is some folks just don't know how sin sick they are. Now, I know I'm preaching here this morning. You can say, well, Brother Jerry, I look around and I don't see anybody that's in a sin sickness. Well, the thing about it is what you probably haven't really realized, because we haven't really said a whole lot about it, is the fact that there's people all around the world that listen to these services. That's the truth. We get emails from all over the world. We get emails from Australia. We get emails from Europe. We get emails from all over the world. People in Africa emailing me, asking me questions. People all over. People from Alaska emailing me. Because, why? God, friends, listen. When God sent us Brother Todd and Brother Chris, he sent something to really help us. And they've got us up and running and got us on the, Brother Todd's got us on the internet, and we've got this thing, and we're not stopping. We're going to get to where we're finally streaming, and eventually we're going to get where we'll have actual picture with it. We're looking for video, and we're just a little church, so we got to do as we can. But the thing about it is, sometimes you look around and you think, I'm just preaching to people here, but I'm not. I'm preaching to whoever's going to listen to these services. And you don't know where, friends, look, there is people in Jackson that can't make it up here to church that listen to these services. There's people in Nashville that live in Nashville that can't make it out to get to these services, but they listen to the services online. I've never really let that be known before, really said anything about it. But it's the truth. I get mail from them. And, you know, not everybody uses email. Some people still use snail mail. And we get it in from them. And so you never know who's all listening to these services. But I want you to know something this morning. Brother Branham says in a message of a prophet like unto Moses, he said, bless these ministering brothers sitting here, Lord, who's ministered for years for this very purpose, has beaten out the road, laid the cobblestones, and paved it. Now may the Holy Spirit walk down this road, confirming what they have promised the people through the word. Many times, there's a fivefold ministry, and there was four anointings that went forth, and Brother Branham placed them four anointings and then four anointings within the fivefold ministry, and the four anointings were the eagle, the man, the ox, and the lion. And he placed those anointings down through the church ages. And then he also placed them in the fivefold ministry. And we know that he said the pastor was the ox of the team. He really labors. So the pastor really labors. He's there with the people day in and day out. He carries, he's their burden bearer. He carries the burdens for the people. And so the pastor, friends, listen, the messages that are preached here, they're paving a way. Then when you have some visitor minister come in and that, then he can preach the way he does, because there's been some pavement laid down. There's been a road that's been made, a clear way. And that's what Brother Branham was expressing in here. And so, you know, for the sinner this morning, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. And Brother Branham said, There's room at that fountain for every sin sick soul. There's room at that fountain for every physically sick person that's been afflicted with sickness and disease. There's room at the fountain, and you can plunge into that fountain and be healed this morning.
Amen.
What is it that you plunge with? Your faith.
Yes.
Amen. It's not something you've got to physically do. It's not something you got to physically overcome, but it's something that you hang on the word of God, rest on it with your faith.
Amen.
I love that song, "You Ask Me Why I'm Happy." So I'll just tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood in the sea of God's forgiveness. That's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time when the king of Moab rebelled against Israel and against Judah. And so there was three kings got together, and they were going to go up against the king of Moab. And so Jehoshaphat was one of them. Jeroboam was the other. And they got down there, and they got to a place where they ran out of water. They didn't have any water. And so Jehoshaphat said, "Isn't there a man of God, a prophet that we can call on?" And so they called on Elisha. And Elisha was so upset at the son of Ahab that he said he was too upset to even prophesy. And so he said, "Bring me a minstrel." And they brought a minstrel in, and he began to play, and the music, you know, brought in the anointing upon Elisha. And then Elisha said, "Make the valley full of ditches." He said, because God's going to bring water, and he's going to fill every ditch. Now you think about it, friends. If that was what was said to them, then when he said, "Make the valley full of ditches," they shouldn't have went down and just dug one ditch. Shouldn't have went down and just dug two ditches or three ditches or four. They should have dug so many ditches till there wasn't no land left to dig any ditches in. I'd have been digging ditches till it turned into a lake, because there was a promise God was going to send in water. And there is a rock in a weary land this morning. And there's a rock that can bring forth the water of life from God himself. And what we've got to do, Brother Branham said, is dig out the ditches in our lives. Dig out the unbelief. Dig out the doubt. Dig out the trash. Dig out all the world. Dig out all this stuff, because there is a fountain of water, and the waters of life are freely to whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the waters of life freely.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Every sin sick soul can come drink of the waters of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, the thing is with a sinner, they're in a troubled condition. They're like a troubled sea. There's no rest. They're like on a troubled sea. If you ever seen a ship on a troubled sea, there's no place for the ship to rest. It's a storm that they're in, a storm of this life. And the devil is hot on their trail. And the devil, he's blowing every hour of every day. He's blowing his hot breath down upon them in their storm. You think about how a sinner lives. Many of you know you've come from lives of sin. You know what it's like to be miserable, to be weary in your sin, and not realize there's a way to escape it, and be looking for a place to rest, be looking for an escape, and seems like they can't find it. But it's because many times we look in the wrong places. We look at the wrong things. We look for escape by taking drugs. We look for escape by drinking. We look for escape by other things of the world. But those things will not bring you an escape. They will not bring you a relief. They will not bring you any rest. Hallelujah. But there is a place of rest wherein you'll cause the weary to rest. Those that are weary from sin, those that are weary from sickness, those that are weary from being from trials and tribulations, there is a place wherein the weary may be caused to rest. Hallelujah. You know, many times you'll find where people will come to church and they'll get in the pew, and under the preaching of God's word, they end up falling asleep. You know why it is? It's the most peaceful place in their life sometimes. They get in here and it's a place where it's peace away from their everyday grind that they're through. The temptations and the trials and the stress. We live in an age of nervousness. Sometimes people get in and they find the most peaceful place in their life is here at church. But you can have that peace anywhere. The reason you find that peace here is because the presence of God is here. It has nothing to do with the four walls of the floor or the ceiling. But it has to do with the place has been dedicated for the service of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is here. Not because he honors the building, but because he honors your faith. And so he can honor your faith wherever you are. You can have peace. You know, sometimes people's homes, their families are in such a turmoil. There's no peace, but you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Yes. Don't become part of the storm. Sometimes the problem is we become part of the storm. Somebody says something to us and we think we got to reply back. You don't have to reply back. People think, well, I don't want to be rude. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. If somebody is saying something to bring storm and unrest to you, they're the ones being rude. You can politely turn your back and walk away. That's not being rude. Hallelujah. On the phone, there's a thing called hang up. Now it ain't hang up. You know, it used to be hang up when I was a kid. Now it's end call. End the call. That's it. Push a button. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, those that are sin sick, they're wanting to find peace. They're wanting to find a place to rest. The only place to rest is upon God's word. There's where you can rest your soul. It's not a physical place. It's a supernatural place. That's why you can take it with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Isn't it what the song says? Take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go. Amen. Do all you do in the name of Jesus. Right in the midst of the storm, you can say, I'm not going to be a part of the storm, but I'm going to have peace from the storm. Just start singing. I don't know how many of y'all know Brother Charlie Spencer, but Brother Charlie, you know, have you ever had different religious groups and that come and solicit you at your door? You know, that they want to talk to you, whatever. They come to Brother Charlie Spencer's house one time, and he always has prayer every morning after he eats breakfast. He goes into the living room, kneels down, has prayer time. And I know because I went there and visited him. And so he told me, he said, two men come about that time in the morning and to talk. And he told him, he said, it's prayer time. And he said, let's pray. And he took them both by the hands and knelt down, pulling them down to their knees too. When he got done praying, they said, we got to go. So you get somebody that comes over to your house and they're going to cause a storm and cause a stir, just grab them by the hand and say, let's pray. And just kneel down, take them with you and pray. When you get done, the storm's going to be over, I guarantee you. Just pray. Just sing. Well, let's call a minstrel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, a lot of times what happens is we get in our carnal conditions, our carnal mental conceptions of things. We get, and that's where Satan likes to attack, get us thinking carnally. But you need, but friends, look, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. You've got to be spiritually minded. One time, there was a missionary conference going on up in Michigan, and this is back in the 70s. And my dad and another brother from the church, they were making their trip up there, and I don't know where in the world they ended up. Them two got to talking about the things of the Lord, forgot all about where they were going, and they did not end up at the missionary conference for some time. They had to find their way back from wherever they ended up getting to because they forgot about exits and routes and everything up, just kept driving and talking about the Lord. They got so heavenly, my mom said they got so heavenly minded they wasn't no earthly good. And that's the way we need to get, so heavenly minded that we ain't no earthly good. Hallelujah. Get heavenly minded. Get spiritually minded. Get out of that old carnal mind. That's where the devil likes to work. Get you thinking and thinking and thinking. His brother John LaFontaine, you say, stinking thinking. He gets you to thinking on things. Friends, look, anytime he can catch you where he can get your mind to drift, the next thing you know, if you ain't got it busy, it's going to be drifting. You're driving down the road, and the devil said, well, this is a good time. You're out walking or out running or whatever you're doing, and the devil said, well, this is a good time, you know. They got a free mind right now. Let me just get in there and see what I can muddle up. And if he can just get you to thinking on one thing and try to get you upset, and get you dwelling on that. See, that's the thing. When the devil brings a thought in, don't entertain the thought. A lot of people say, well, come on in, have a seat. Would you like a cup of coffee, something to drink, a glass of water? What they need, don't entertain the devil. That's what we do too many times. We entertain all those things. By that I mean, we just let it dwell on our mind, and it begins to fester. You know what, friends? Listen, you're a dove, and a dove can't rest on dead things because it's got no goal. It's got no goal to digest those dead things. That's why when you let them thoughts remain in your head, why it gets to bothering you so bad, why bitterness can get on you so bad, is because you are a bird that doesn't have any goal to digest that kind of stuff. You're not meant to. You're not meant to have your thoughts on those things. God didn't create you to have your thoughts on those negative things.
Amen. Praise God.
recognizing the devil and his tactics. Recognize when it's the devil. Now, I know many times he tries to get you to think that that's your thought. You're the one come up with that. Friends, if it's something negative, it wasn't you that came up with it. It was the devil. The devil made you do it. Hallelujah. Sometimes people get bound. They're like in a prison. They get bound in their minds. You're like in a prison house in their mind. God came to set you free. He came in the form of a man. To come down and live life the way you live it. We'll say, Jesus didn't have to work for a living. Friends, his ministry didn't start till he was like 32 years old or 30-some years old. What do you think he was doing before that time? The Bible said he was a carpenter's son. He was a carpenter. He worked. He knows what it's like to work. He knows what it's like to have to earn a living. So he, friends, there's nothing you go through that Jesus can't understand. Many times when teenagers growing, kids growing up, they become teenagers. One of their most famous lines that comes out of their mouth is, you just don't understand. You don't understand me. The problem is they are the ones that don't understand. I remember when I was a teenager. Buddy, I'll tell you what, I thought I had the tiger by the tail. I thought I had the world figured out. I thought my poor old dad and mom, how utterly delusional they were in their thoughts. They surely couldn't, they just didn't know what it was like. I don't know why it is. I guess because you've never been there before, that teenagers can't never realize somebody else has already been there. You can't understand. You're not a teenager. Everybody has been a teenager. I'll speak for myself. I was dumb at one time and thought I knew everything. And as the older I got, the less I realized, the less I did actually know. And my dear mom and dad, they got smarter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to friends, look, that don't only go for in the natural, but in the spiritual. There's people who have been down the road. They know what it's like. I'm when you hear the preaching up here, whether it comes from me or Brother Phil, he's older than me, y'all know. But if it comes from me or Brother Phil, that we've been down that road before. We've already been down there. We've already experienced it. But not only that, we're able to preach because we have experienced deliverance from it. We have experienced a transformation in our life by the word of God. Hallelujah. We know what it's like to have to stand on faith and faith alone. I know what it's like to feel like you're all by yourself. But Jesus is there with you. And he understands. No matter what you face, he understands it. God even knows what it's like to lose a child, because he gave his only begotten son that you might be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus came, friends, to this earth. As the song says, he was born to die. He came here to die that you might be free. He died so you don't have to die. You say, well, now if time tarries, I'm going to go by the way of the grave. But he conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered hell. Our sins, for our sin, we deserve to go to hell. But he went to hell so you wouldn't have to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the midst of Redeemer, Brother Branham says, he was praying, he says, Father, there may be some sicker than these physically sick. There may be some sin sick. Never yet. Maybe they belong to a church. Maybe they put their name on the book. The same church their dear old mother died in, that same church. But they've never been born again. That's the thing, friends. Just coming to church here is not good enough. Just cause mom and daddy comes to church, just cause mom and daddy believe, just cause mom and daddy are believers, that's not enough. You've got to be born again. Those are the very words of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus came to him, remember, in the night, secretly, inquiring. And Jesus, his words to him was, ye must be born again. Hallelujah. We were born in the natural, in this life, in sin. To be born again is for the life that God actually gave you, the real you, not this breath that makes this body walk around, but the real you on the inside, to come to life, be born, a birth spiritually. Being born again ain't turning over a new leaf. It ain't taking a pledge. It ain't some kind of program. It's something coming alive in here. It's a birth of that spiritual seed, that spiritual life blossoming forth in your life. Now, we're still in this flesh, and we're still going to have to contend with this flesh. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of this old flesh. I'm getting tired of this old pest house. I'm looking forward to a day when these bars of bone will burst open. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Need to be born again. Maybe there's anyone that hears this morning that hadn't been born again, that are sin sick. May they realize it's Jesus calling to them. He's calling. He's saying, come on home. He's telling them, come on home. He's telling them, come to the place of rest. Amen. This morning, you're weary from these things, come. There is a place where you can rest your weary soul. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. No man could come except the Father draw him. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Bram said, one of the sickest things I know of is a sin sick man or woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I had to be delivered. I said, I don't know about you, but I believe we all had to be delivered. It didn't matter how you were raised. I was raised in church. My whole life, I never knew nothing but church. In my young life, Mom used to make me a little pallet on the floor. I'd lay under the pew. People shouting and dancing all around me never scared me. I felt at home. People speaking in tongues never scared me. I felt at home. I felt peace. All I've ever known was church. But there come a time that I reached an age in life where I had to have my own experience. And I didn't get it. I didn't push through to get it. So you know where I ended up? Out in sin. The world, Satan, by the world, tries to draw every young person that he can to come and partake of the world. To come and try it out. Just try it one time. And we don't know how to say no. And you do it, and you know what you end up with? Scars. Mental scars. Sometimes some physical things. Yeah. You get your life entangled in some things where there ain't no untangling it. There ain't no undoing it's what I'm saying. You can't unhave a child. You can't, there's some experiences that you experience in this flesh, in this world, you can't unexperience. And Satan will make sure to remind you of it. You're walking down the street, just as free as a song. And the next thing you know, you see somebody or you see something or you see a sign. Or something crossed your path. Maybe it's a car. And that car brings back a memory. And the next thing you know, here you are back at that sin-sick memory you had. That scarred up your life. You can't undo them things. Oh, but there's coming a time. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be free of that. Amen. That old memory of all those things of the sin and sick and all that is all going to be wiped away. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going to be able to be plagued with it any longer. Satan tries to plague your mind with it now. There's a place to rest from that. You know, there's prayer. There's reading your Bible. There's singing. You know, if a person is suffering mentally, has a mental sickness, say depression or something that, you know, one of the things that they tell you to do? Exercise. Because the physical action of your body stimulates things in your brain. Well, you can do some spiritual exercise. Paul says bodily exercise profiteth little. But exercising the faith, that is eternal profiting. Stretch out them faith muscles. You have a need, Ask God for it. The thing about it is, a lot of times we don't believe that God really can do it. I remember one time, my wife and I was sharing a vehicle, and we were both working in the same town. We just worked different. We would work different hours and so on and so on. So we would have to make do and do what we could. And we didn't live in the town we worked in. That was a problem. But then there come a time where my work was going to move to another place. And so I had need of a vehicle. We weren't going to be able to make it any longer with one vehicle. So you know what I did? I got down and I didn't just ask God for any vehicle. I got specific. I told the Lord, "Lord, I'd really like to have a small truck, something that's good on gas. And I need something that's got cruise control because I'm going to be traveling." And I said, "I need some air conditioning." And I said, "Lord, if you can just provide for me a little truck." And I said, "Now, Lord, I'm going to call up this car dealership, this salesman that I dealt with when I bought the van that I got. And I said, I'm going to talk to that salesman. Now, Lord, if you could just provide me a little truck that has these things on it, I would really appreciate it." And I got it from prayer, and I went and got the phone. And about that time, I thought, and I said, "Oh, Lord, I forgot. I like red." And so I called up this salesman and said, "You remember me?" I said, "You sold me the van that I got." And he said, "Yeah, I remember you and your wife." And I said, "Well, look," I said, "when we bought that van, we had to get a cosigner. I had just come back from Germany, and they wanted me to have a cosigner." And so I said, "But I'm not going to want a cosigner for this." I said, "What I need is, I need a little truck." And I said, and I started telling him what I needed. And he said, "I've got just the thing for you. Come on over and see me." I said, now, if I get in there and you tell me I need a cosigner, I'm going to walk right out the door." He said, come on over. So we went over there, and on the way over, I told my wife, you know, I said, "Man, I forgot to ask for a bed liner." So I got on over there, and he took me out and showed me this little truck, and it was red, and it had a bed liner. Now, friends, I'm telling you this testimony. This is real life. This isn't no fairy tale. This is real life. I'm telling you, you can get specific and ask God. God cares. You're his child. Hallelujah. God cares. And friends, look, I'm going to tell you something. He'll take you at your word. I told him when he sent me down here to pastor, and I was trying my best to find a place to live to bring my family to, and I couldn't find a place. Everything I did seemed to fall through. I put down, what do they call that, money you put down on a deal, you know? I put down money, and they end up giving it back to me. And later on down the road, they end up just giving it back to me because they couldn't fulfill it. Earnest money, I think is what you call it. And so it wasn't looking good. And you know what I told the Lord? I said, "Lord, I don't care if I ain't got two dimes to rub together. I don't care where I got to live. I believe you sent me here, and I'll live whatever you give me. I'll live in it. And I'll be here, Lord. I don't care if I ain't got hardly enough money to live on. I'll still be here because I believe you sent me." Yes, and God said, "We'll see." There was a time when I was first here. There was a time we couldn't hardly afford groceries to make it week to week. That's the truth. Y'all know what ramen noodles are? Boy, we sure did. I don't live like that now. But I've been here 24 years. I've been here a long time. God's tried me over the years. God will try you. But I'm here to tell you, He cares. I decided we needed another place to live. We lived where we at in First Command. We lived there 5 years, and I wanted a place of our own. And so we didn't have no money to put down. So, but I went hunting for property. And I looked in, I forget, it was some little old free newspaper thing they have around here in Dixon County. I can't remember what it's called. But I went looking through there in the ads for property. And I saw this ad for this property. I wasn't really even sure where the property was, but I called the number. And I asked the fella where this property was at. And at that time, the property was owned by a fellow who was named, called Spook Spam. And I talked to him and asked him where was the property at. He told me how to get there and where it was and all that, you know. And he said, it's all marked off. And so I went out there. I had to take my father-in-law and mother-in-law were down visiting, and I had to take them to the airport over Nashville. So I took them over to the airport, and on the way back, I went by where this property was. And I drove down that road, and as I was driving down it, I was trying to look for the marker. He said the property were marked off the tracks. And I couldn't find exactly how they were marked off. And but I went down to the last track on the road. And I parked my truck and I got out. Yes, it was that little old truck I prayed for. And I got out and I walked up this hill and I walked up into the woods. And where we were living, once you left a certain area, you didn't get phone signal hardly anymore. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Hard to get a phone signal. But I walked up on this hill up in the woods, boy, and I had a clear signal. And I thought, well, my goodness, this is nice. I got a clear signal out in the middle of the woods. And so I walked up on it, and I called Mina. She was at work over in Nashville. I called her, and I said, I am standing on our property. What do you mean? She said, and I said, well, I went to look at that property that I saw advertised. And I said, and the track I'm standing on is the one we're going to buy. I'm standing on our property talking to you in the middle of the woods on my phone. I didn't have a cent to put down on it. But we asked God for it. And we asked God to give us a home to put on it. And friends, God did it. You can ask God. He cares. Mina and I, when we were young, our desire was always to live out in the woods somewhere. And that's where we live now, after all these years. We've been out there now 19 years, a little over. Next year, turn around 20 years. That's the longest I've ever lived in one place. Y'all know that. Living here in Dixon is the longest I've ever lived in one place. When God sent me here, He sent me here. church didn't need somebody else to just come in and stay a couple of years and leave. They needed somebody to come here and plant down some roots and stay and keep preaching till we go in a rapture. And I'm looking forward to going in a rapture. How about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to know one of the most miserable people in the world? Brother Branham said is a backslider. But there's a place of rest for the backslider. There is a place wherein the weary can rest. If you, no matter what your need is, you can ask God, and He's going to supply it. I had need of a little truck. I had need of a vehicle. I wanted a little truck. God not only gave me what I needed, He gave me what I wanted. And I had that truck until it died. Everybody in my family learned to drive in that truck. Just about. I guess Lydia learned in another vehicle, but the other three all learned in that truck. Lydia, she learned in the car she drives in now. But everybody put their licks and nicks on that old truck. Everybody put their own dents in it, learning to drive. One of them backed over a mailbox. One of them scraped another truck. One of them backed into a David's truck. Oh, my. Hallelujah. God cares. There's a place wherein the weary can rest. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just believe when you started laying this message on my heart that there was going to be more, Lord, that I could get to in one day, one service. And so, Lord, we just followed your leading this morning, dear God, as you would lead us. Lord Jesus, there's more ground to be covered. I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us, Lord, to keep us, bring us back here at the appointed time, dear God. I pray for again, Lord God, for Brother Todd and Sister Jackson, dear God. Lord, that you'll comfort him. Lord, we prayed for Sister Jackson yesterday, Father, for healing, dear God, in her body. I pray you continue to touch her, dear God, give her strength. I pray, dear God, for the comforting of the Holy Spirit in their family, dear God. And Lord, for the friends, Lord, and so on, Lord, that is going to miss Brother Neil. But dear God, Lord, he's went on to a better place. And Lord, a place where we all are longing to go to. Lord, I ask, dear God, for each individual in this church, dear God, you know, and Lord, what the week holds ahead for them, dear God. You'll be with them throughout the week, everywhere they go, dear God. Lord, may you keep them, dear God, and bring them back here safely, Lord, in your hands, we ask. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.